What up, dogs? Hi, it's the great one. The great one himself. Still the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. That hasn't changed since the last time I recorded a podcast. Oh, finished the meeting. Got over to the Target City. Got to the bar. Had a beer. Went to the meeting. Got everything sorted out. Worked out well. Everybody was very nice. Easy to get along with. We solved a few problems before they became problems, which is the way we like to do it in this business. Went back to the bar, had another drink, ate some food, and now we're cruising back to the People's Republic of Fort Collins. A little calmer, I think, than I was when I started off, mostly because I got my rage and anger about how much Deadpool sucked out of the way. It was really, really bad movie. Just terrible. What I got in my notes here? Let's talk. What am I going to talk about? Let me talk about this. Oh, yeah. So you guys have heard the Greasy Poll episode 2. So I can talk about some of that stuff now. Here's, before I forget about it, because this isn't on my notes, which means I'll forget to put it in the show notes, but who cares? Does anybody read the show notes? Does anybody care about the show notes? Oh shit, that reminds me, I gotta finish editing the Greasy Poll episode 2 when I get home tonight so it can get uploaded so that you can have heard it on Wednesday, 2 days before you're listening to this. This whole time travel thing, it's so fucking cool. I feel like a Time Lord or something, except not a fucking wussy, sissy, bow tie wearing Time Lord like what they turned the Doctor into, where he wants to have sex with his companions. As you may or may not know, hey, let's talk about something else that's not in the show notes that I wasn't going to talk about. As you may or may not know, I am a huge fan of Doctor Who, the original TV series. And I find it endlessly fascinating that when Doctor Who was a low-budget TV show aimed at children, it was actually better than it is now that it is a high-budget TV show aimed at 16-year-old girls. Because as I continuously tell my friend Rachel, who loves the new Doctor Who, it's Twilight with a phone booth. Okay, no, it's not. Yes, it is. It is not. I'm like, no, it is. It's just this guy running around and everybody wants to have sex with him and he wants to have sex with everybody. It's Twilight with a phone booth. It's aimed at 16-year-old girls. No, it's not. It's really good. There's some really good. No, there's not. I'm like, no, Rachel, there's not. It sucks, okay? I have watched some of it. It sucked balls. I have original Doctor Who series. I have all of those on DVD because I'm old and I don't do Netflix streaming. I still have actual physical DVDs. Which also reminds me of something I'll talk about that I wasn't going to talk about. So now we're on our third level of tangenting. Let's see if we bring this all back home in the end. Actually, I've already forgotten what I was going to talk about first. Oh, no, that's not it. Oh, I was going to talk girls. Okay, you guys remind me. Girls. From girls, we went to Doctor Who because that's going to come back to girls. And then we went to, wait, what the fuck am I talking about now? I forgot. See, I came off of Doctor Who onto something else. Rachel, Twilight, phone booth, aimed at 16. Fuck. Oh, Doctor. Okay, so I have all the. Oh, Netflix. Because I don't do streaming because I'm old. And then, yes. All right, I've caught up with myself. God damn it. See, this is what it's like inside the mind of a genius. There's always something happening. Always going places here. Well, you have ADHD. No, I don't have a fucking disease. I just have shit to think about. Well, we need to, you had too many thoughts right there. We need to put you on some medication so that you can focus on one thing at a time. Oh yeah, because that would be fun. That would take, yeah, because people really want to tune into this podcast and listen to me focus on one fucking thing at a time. I'm sure that's why you're here. Oh, squirrel. All right. I heard somewhere, this was just overheard, someone was saying that now DVDs and CDs are getting rot and they're starting to lose the data that's on them. Remember how many years ago had I started making fun of these people who said stupid shit like, hang on, I gotta change lanes and make sure I don't kill anybody. I was the one who said, who are these idiots? Because you may or may not remember this, depending on how old you are. If you were around when CDs first appeared, do you remember the idiots who came along and said that, well, CDs, they will last 100 years. And remember the great one said that nobody could possibly assert that a CD is going to last 100 years because there are no 100-year-old CDs upon which to base that. Well, the great one has on DVD, which will eventually fail, quite possibly in my lifetime, who knows, I have all of the episodes of the original Doctor Who that are so far available because many of the episodes from the early days were actually lost. Because back in the way back in days of the BBC, they would shoot Doctor Who and they would send the film out and everything like that. And then at some point, the film would actually get destroyed or recycled or whatever. It wasn't occurring to anyone to save copies of all the episodes of Doctor Who. And I'm sure this happened to other programs as well. And then many years later, when Doctor Who became a thing, back during the run of the original series, there was this big hunt where all of a sudden, you know, Doctor Who became a phenomenon. People around the world were interested in it. And suddenly, of course, the BBC is sitting here going, holy shit. You know, there's all these people out there who are willing to spend money on Doctor Who. And this was even before DVDs, when the VHS was still the thing. Right, people were buying Doctor Who VHS tapes all over the world. And the BBC is like, holy shit, we need to find as many of those old episodes as we can so we can sell that shit and make money. And thus, this great, truly worldwide search began, where the BBC published a list of all the episodes of Doctor Who that they didn't have. And, you know, copies of Doctor Who episodes were showing up all around the world, like in the hands of private collectors or at television stations, because Doctor Who is being shown in countries other than England. It was being shipped all over the world. And so you'd find, oh, episode 3 of this series here and episode 4 of this one over there and all coming back in. Thus, I have all of the Doctor Who, original Doctor Who series that are currently available on DVD, on DVD. It's a great one. What does it have to do with anything? I'm getting there. The most recent acquisition I made was I got the story from Tom Baker's years called Shada. And Shada was the great unfinished Doctor Who. Because during the making of that episode, they did all of the location filming. And as they were getting ready to go into the studio and do the studio filming, there was a strike at the BBC, which then prevented them from filming the rest of the episode. And once the strike was over, there were so many other TV series that were backed up and everything that were essentially ahead of Doctor Who in the queue because of their more importance than Doctor Who, that story never got finished. So what they did is they took the existing scenes from Shada and put all of that together, and then they had Tom Baker come in and narrate all of the stuff that was missing. Well, on that DVD set, it's a 3-DVD set, there's a bunch of extras. There is, why is my phone going off? Why can't you people leave me alone? I don't want to communicate with the outside world, he says as he's recording a podcast. All right, I don't want to communicate interactively with the outside world, unless it's a cute girl. And the odds that it's a cute girl messaging me are pretty fucking slim right now, because they're all so flaky. Oh, whoa, guys, see that? Was foreshadowing. See, okay, so for those of you who wrote the movie Deadpool, See, what I just did there, that was called foreshadowing. I said I don't want to talk to anybody unless it's a cute girl, but it's probably not a cute girl because girls have been flaking out on me lately. See, I was foreshadowing that I'm going to talk about girls in this episode of the podcast. Oh, see, that's a tactic. That's something you use in theater, but you use it sparingly. You don't do an entire fucking movie based on one-liners. You know what else is in that movie that they did way too fucking much of? Once again, I know, I get it. Those of you who wrote Deadpool, no, this is not what we're supposed to be talking about. This is not, no, I just stop. Leave me alone, I'm doing this. You know what you're also not supposed to fucking go into the ground with? Is breaking the fourth wall. And then when Deadpool's like, oh, look, I'm breaking the fourth wall within breaking the fourth wall. Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm like, dude, will you please? Those of you who wrote Deadpool, you are not clever. The fucking fourth wall is a goddamn convention for a fucking reason. And you can break it. But when you break it, you have to break it correctly. And when you're fucking breaking the fourth wall within breaking the fourth wall and then calling attention to breaking the fourth wall and breaking the fourth wall, and you think that's cute because you followed it and preceded it with a fucking dick joke, it's not. It's called trying too hard. It's like girls. When you see them out in public, oh, how do we get back to girls? It's like girls. When you see them out in public, and you see the ones that you can just tell, they are trying so hard. Oh man, they just really want to be nines and tens. And they really want men to pay attention to them. And they really want men to pay attention to them so they can shoot men down because they really need to feel strong and independent and empowered. And no, this is not a personal experience or anything. That this part is not anything that like happened to me that I'm complaining about. This is just an observation that I have made over my many years on this planet. And you see the girls and they're trying so hard. It's like, you're failing, honey. You are not attractive and you're not gonna get to shoot me down because I would never talk to you because I can see the line between where you're foundation ends and your real skin begins. So I'm watching the Doctor Who extra features on the disc 2 of Shada. And there is a documentary on there about the women in Doctor Who. And I almost made it through the whole thing. So it does say, well, all the women on Doctor Who, they just ran around and screamed and twisted their ankles and sexism and patriarchy. And I'm like, look, to a point, it's true. Doctor Who, there, especially in the olden days, in all of the early series, there was a lot of potential for female companions that was squandered. Because no matter how good they were initially, there were some great concepts. Right, you had Sarah Jane Smith as journalist. She was feminist, but not feminazi, not femistatist. You had Leela, who is this warrior from the 17 who could beat people up and kick their asses and use a knife and all this other shit. And, you know, they all of it. You had Dr. Shaw. She was a fucking scientist. You had Zoe, who is this little this little 16-year-old genius with this super high IQ who is almost as smart as the doctor. Of course, you had Susan, who was the doctor's granddaughter. I mean, she wasn't really a Time Lord yet. She was a Gallifreyan, but not an official Time Lord. So you had a lot of female companions who had great potential, but yes, they did inevitably end up running around and screaming because, of course, the writers fucking sucked balls. And while one could say, well, this was the patriarchy, one could also say that let us keep in mind what I'm thinking of the right words here. Let us keep in mind the circumstances under which the original Doctor Who series was created. It was produced by the BBC. The BBC hired the writers who wrote the women as running around and screaming and twisting their ankles. And the BBC is controlled by what entity? Oh, yeah. The government. So as I'm watching this documentary about girls, female companions on Doctor Who, it got past the original series, which I am intimately familiar with and can, much like Star Trek, the original, the only Star Trek, I can discourse for hours. After taking a big drink of water, I can discourse for hours about the original Doctor Who. Then we got to the new Doctor Who series, which I am not familiar with enough to discourse on it, other than to point out that it is Twilight in a phone booth. And the narrator starts talking about how in the new series, the Doctor's relationships with his companions changed. Now he's looking for someone to mate with. And I'm just like, and this is my point about why this is Twilight with a phone booth. The Doctor is zapping around through space and time, trying to find a female that will let him put his dick inside of her. Otherwise known as, last time I checked, according to every feminist on the planet, that's called rape. And of course, this is completely nonsensical because the Doctor is a Time Lord, a superior species. The Doctor having sex with a human female is sort of like me wanting to have sex with a dog. Now, I know that some of you out there, quite possibly the very same people who think that Deadpool was a great movie, are saying, dude, great one. I have sex with dog. I have sex with my dog all the time, man. You know what the fuck you're talking about, man. Dude, sex with dogs rocks, man. Dude, I let my dog fuck me in the ass with the fucking strap on while I'm watching Deadpool. Because Deadpool, dude, that's like the greatest fucking superhero movie ever, man. So I know there's some of you out there who take it in the ass from your dog. Okay, look, you, that's fine. You go ahead and you do what the fuck you want. I'm telling you, normal people are not into that. The Doctor would not be wanting to have sex with Earth fucking females. Or even Earth males, for that matter. And it's like, this is just nauseating. This whole thing where we have to take this thing, which was Doctor Who, where you've got this Time Lord traveling through time and space, and he takes people along, you know, and turn it into he's trying to bang them. And they showed this clip where the Doctor, he's like saying to this one girl, he's like, I'm just looking for a mate. She's like, I'm not mating with you, which, all right, good. At least she had some fucking sense. But who's writing this shit? Oh, that's right, the BBC, which is still owned by the government. Oh, my God. So, girls. What was I going to say about... Oh, girls. All right. In The Greasy Pole, Episode 2, Adam Piggott, cocksucking bastard that he is, put me on the spot because he asked me a question I was not anticipating, which is actually okay because I do that to him every now and then, too. Because we were talking about dating younger chicks, and this was, of course, in the context of when we were talking about how old people should not be giving dating advice. All right, hang on. It's raining. I got to do windshield wipers. I have to also not have a wreck because I'm right next to a semi-truck in a bunch of traffic. And I was talking about how I have mostly dated younger chicks, like all the time. God damn. Rain. Why? It never rains in Colorado until you don't want it to rain. And he asked me what had changed in regards to dating younger girls from my perspective. And I gave some really terrible, shitty answer because I didn't really have one because it's not something I had thought about much. And when it was just tossed at me like that, I was like, deer in the headlights. All right, that was Colorado. The rain has now officially ended. Yep, that was it. That right there. You guys just experienced a Colorado rainstorm. Thinking about that a little bit more, because I think I said something to the effect of just the degree to which they flake out or something, but that really was a bullshit answer because I didn't know. Having thought about it some more, I think I was actually pretty right in that sense, because having meditated on this a bit, like 10 years ago, when I was still chasing 18, 19, 20 year old girls, I'm not gonna, well, how do we define success? All right, let me not start there because that's, I don't have a definition for that right now. 10 years ago when I was chasing 18, 19, 20 year old girls, and I would talk to one and we would agree to meet at a certain place at a certain time and go out, they would show up. I can say that in the, say, 10 to 20 years ago, in that time frame, the number of times a girl who had actually said she would meet me at a time and place, right? Once we had established a day, a time, a place, the number of flakeouts, at least that I can remember, was pretty fucking low. I mean, I can only recall one time a girl didn't show up. And like the number of times she texted me at the last minute or texted me the day of and canceled, I don't recall that happening at all. Of course, then again, 10 to 20 years ago, I personally wasn't doing texting because I didn't have a cell phone 10 years ago. But I had email. And the number of times I got an email canceling at the last minute or the day of, I don't remember that ever happening. Whereas now, the number of times where I will talk to a girl and arrive at the point of, yes, we're going to go out this day, this time, this place, that flake out rate is pretty fucking high. And the flake out rate of, yes, I would like to, I'll go out with you, here's my phone number, but without ever agreeing on a day and a time, that flake out rate is astronomical. So while many people, including myself, have endlessly argued that chicks are flaky and that, you know, we've been arguing this forever, I'm sure I've been arguing it forever, as I sit back and attempt to meditate on this and really dig into my memory, I feel pretty safe saying, I feel, it's my feelings, I got feelings. It's nothing more than feelings. There's feelings in the air, feelings everywhere. Would you like to touch my feelings, you hot little 19-year-old cutie while wearing a volleyball girl outfit? I feel pretty confident stating that yes, girls in the 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 are, dude, are you gonna drive in your lane or my lane? Thank you. Girls in that age range have gotten flakier. They have definitely gotten flakier. Oh, hang on, I gotta maneuver. Okay. I think that was the end of that topic. Girls, flakier. Girls, okay, so, yesterday I went out again looking for babes to do some walk-ups and all that other good stuff. And I approached one girl and chatted with her for a few minutes. And perhaps when you women are wondering why men like myself don't respect you and don't think you're strong and independent, and we're not impressed with your career and we don't treat you like equals and I say you shouldn't be allowed to vote and all this other stuff. Maybe a part of that, a part of the reason for that is the way you think you can just insult my intelligence? So I see the girl there. She's sitting there kind of staring off into space. And I dropped one of my lines on her, which actually works pretty good on girls in this situation, right? If they're sitting there and they're staring off into space and they look like they're concentrating or intently thinking about something or whatever, I'll stop and I'll get their attention. I'll say something to the effect of, "Hi, you're looking very intense." Or I'm going to say, I forgot my own line. I love when this happens. This actually does happen. I see like some hot chick and I can think of nothing to fucking say. And 30 seconds later, after it's too late, the best line in the world pops into my head. But God, I love it. It's like, so I say something along the lines of, "Oh, I love this stretch of road in here. Can you hear the change in my voice? Because now the truck is bouncing everywhere." I say this, something along the lines of, "You're looking very, you look like you're having very intense thoughts. Are you solving the problems of the world?" And that usually gets a laugh. Nine times out of 10, that gets a laugh. And so it's this cute little redhead. And we know what the great one thinks about redheads. And she says, "No, I'm just zoning out," blah, blah. And we chatted a little bit. And she gets up to leave because she's got to go back to work. She is on break from work, yada, yada, yada. And she says, "Well, it was nice talking to you." And the insult here is that I'm not a complete fucking idiot. She didn't run away screaming, but there is this thing called body language. In fact, Adam Piggott and I talked about body language in The Greasy Pole, episode number 2, in relation to Justin Trudeau, right? When you look at people's body language, I'm looking at looking at this girl's body language. I'm listening to the tone of her voice. I'm watching how she's interacting with me. It was not that much of a pleasure for her to talk to me. It just wasn't. I could tell. And it's like, why are you lying? Why can't you just say, "I have to go back to work. Goodbye." Why do you have to add in there, "Well, great one, you actually answered your own question in Tuesday's episode. You explained that women say what they think other people want to hear because women need to fit into the tribe. That's how they ensure their survival. You just explained that to us. Were you not paying attention to your own podcast? Were you doing like Stefan Molyneux and doing a bunch of podcasts about hypergamy and then doing a podcast where you act all bizarrely outraged that a woman would go to the Academy Awards or the Oscars or whatever it was with a tuba player and then give her phone number to somebody else while she's on date with him? Because even though you've done videos about hypergamy, you don't seem to understand that hypergamy is a real thing." It's like, great one, are you going Stefan Molyneux on us? Well, my hair hasn't fallen out yet, and I haven't turned into a complete fucking trad cuck, but no, I'm trying to avoid going Stefan Molyneux on you. I really am. So I know why she said that. She said it because she thinks that's what I wanted to hear, and she wants to be nice because if she hurts my feelings, she will feel bad. And she doesn't want to feel bad because she was a very adorable redheaded white woman from North America. And the Prime Directive specifically states that no white woman, none, not one white woman from North America must ever experience discomfort. They cannot be allowed. What fucking time is it? Hold on. Does anyone know what time it is? I'm trying to decide if I'm going to go back by the office and do shit for work. Oh, God, it's already 7 o'clock. I got to post the episode I recorded earlier today. I got to edit the Greasy Poll. I got to send that to Adam. I got to get that posted on my site. I am not doing any more work today. We'll deal with that tomorrow. We're back in the People's Republic of Fort Collins now. Welcome. Welcome back, everyone, to the People's Republic of Fort Collins. Here, I'll pan the audio recorder around so that you can see it. You got a nice view of the mountains there. Some storm clouds up above, right over there. Yep, looks like, I was going to say that might be snow, but it's not. That's rain. Yep, there it is. And so that's why she said, it was nice talking to you. She didn't really get that much pleasure out of talking to me. And I could tell she didn't. But she had to lie about it. Now, let us contrast this to the other approach I did yesterday, which was one of the best approaches ever, just in the sense of nobody wasted anybody's time. And this is something I'm moving more and more towards because I've told you guys about Alan Roger Curry. I read his book. And Mark Manson touches on this in his book Models. And then I also stumbled across this thing on the interwebs, which I haven't finished reading it yet. It was a fairly, like an average length penis. Oh, let's do a dick joke. Oh my God. Hey guys, look, I'm in a movie and I'm breaking the fourth wall and I haven't done a dick joke in almost 45 seconds. I'd better throw another dick joke in because that's all the writers of this movie know is dick jokes. I'm not even going to get to the stuff on my fucking notes. God damn it. I love being me. It is. I'm so, God. I know, you're all thinking, oh, great one. You're so full of anger. Yeah, only when I podcast, because that's just part of the fun. Oh, man, am I happy. God, I'm good. Fuck you all. What was I talking about? I have no idea. Give me a second. I'm trying to remember what I was doing. Shit. Oh, the best walk up from a... Oh, okay. So I read this thing on the interwebs. Oh, train tracks. Well, I've read some of it. I actually still haven't read the entire article. And this person is just coming forth and saying, essentially, he's saying, you just walk up to girls and you ask them if they're single. Because this is what Mark Manson and Alan Roger Curry are all going at, is don't let women waste your time. And we reciprocate, right? Because we are men. We have self-awareness. We understand that other people are just like us. I do not want a woman to waste my time. And their assertion is that as a man, you don't waste a woman's time either. Even the great Adam Piggott himself has touched upon this, because I remember at one time, Adam either wrote in his blog or said in his podcast, or possibly both, Adam said you should never date a woman for more than 6 months unless you're intending to marry her. And if I remember correctly, and I might remember incorrectly, but I think at least one of part of his rationale for that is that you don't want to waste your time on somebody you're not going to marry, but you also don't want to waste her time on, you know, wasting her time on somebody she's not going to marry. It's like, that's what I'm talking about right there. See, as men, we, because we have self-awareness, we also have empathy and we respect other people's time. So I'm having read part of this blog post about asking, just directly asking women, are you single? I went forth unto the world. I left my mom's basement. I turned off World of Warcraft and went outside to a place that has real girls. Like, yes, yes, real live girls. I'm sitting at the bar right next to where people order their drinks. And these two girls come in and they're ordering their drinks. And I'm sitting there, I'm looking at the one. It's like, yeah, you know what? She's kind of cute. And hang on, can I make this? Yes. Oh yeah, not dying today. And so she got her drink and I'm sitting there and I just reached over in my chair and I tapped her on the shoulder. She turned around and she looked at me and I said, hi. She says, hi. And I said, you're really cute. And she said, well, thank you. And I said, are you single? She says, no, I'm not. And I said, well, it was worth asking. And she says, yeah, it sure was. And she walked away with her friend and they drank their beer. And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing. Nobody lied to anyone. Nobody made promises they weren't going to keep. She didn't give me a phone number and ignore me. It was just like, yeah, I am cute. Thanks. No, I'm not single. All right, we're done. It was just the most beautiful interaction. It's like, that's all I'm asking for, girls. That's all you have to do when you're talking to a boy. Just fucking be honest. Because we know when you're bullshitting us, right? Like this magic sixth sense that you women claim you have, that you can tell the good men from the bad men. You know, well, you can't fool women. No, you can't fool women. I mean, that's why women are constantly getting raped. That's why they constantly date men who rape them. That's why they date men who beat their children. That's why they date men who beat them. That's why they date men who cheat on them. That's why they marry men who cheat on them. That's why they marry men who are married to other women. That's why they marry men who beat their children. That's why they marry men who beat them. That's why they, yeah, because you women are so fucking hard to fool. I mean, my God, you're just so fucking perceptive about human nature. There ain't a man alive who can get anything past you, is it, honey? That's all we're asking for. Just acknowledge, yes, I am cute. Thanks. No, I know I'm not single, but have a great day. Just acknowledge it. Don't lie. And go drink your beer.